The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D, welcoming you back on The Fan. And we are thrilled right now to go to the guest hotline and welcome onto the show for his weekly Tuesday 5 p.m. appointment, our guy Austin Eckler, who's going to provide trust and insight. He is our trusted insider. This is presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports insiders share their exclusive perspective. We've been waiting to talk to Austin as he's gotten healthier post-concussion, and he is willing to hop on with us today. First of all, Austin, welcome back on
the show,
man. We've been thinking about you. How are you, brother?
Yo, what's up, fellas? I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. I've been getting back feeling like myself, so that's been great. Definitely went through it there for a little bit. Just with the concussion symptoms, trying to just get through the fogginess feeling, but definitely trending in the right direction. And now just still dealing with some repercussions of the hit. But like I said, trending in the right direction, so that's a good thing.
So, Austin, as much as you're comfortable and willing to discuss, I think there is something instructive about people knowing, like, we hear the word concussion and we're like, that happens in football, right? Or like, okay, who's getting the next carry or whatever? Like, what has your life been like? And what have your last week and a half or so kind of been like for you as you've been battling this?
Yeah, well, first, I think it's important to kind of diagnose the magnitude of kind of the situation. Like, I didn't even remember how I got off the field. Like, I just remember kind of like coming to, as far as like remembering stuff. I had a, like, short-term memory loss. And I remember my wife was sitting in the room and I'm getting like evaluated by our medical staff, you know, in the back room. And so that's when I started to remember things. And then I started all of a sudden, okay, was getting, you know, helped up and going and getting in the back of the ambulance to go get a CT scan. So, like I was definitely concussed and had seen some major symptoms there. So that's something that is,
That at the stadium, Austin, or is that at the hospital after?
That's at the stadium. And so Basically, ever since I got into the ambulance, I could pretty much remember everything. But it kind of just showed you the kind of the severity of the incident. And this is my second concussion this year. The first one was versus the Bengals early on. And I actually didn't remember how I got off the field on that one either. So not good to see any memory loss, obviously, from taking a hit to the head. And so this one, you know, also has some pain in my neck that I'm dealing with, too, just trying to get back through that. So that's kind of where the decision for all the IR stuff came from, where it's like, hey, man, let's not rush you back. Let's kind of put you in a place where you can, you know, do the right thing, treat yourself, make sure you're 100%, not mess around with coming back at all too early or, you know, having any pressure to come back really early because you're on IR. So kind of where I'm at right now. Now it's just continue to go in every single day and get some treatment, which is a lot of just mobility, a lot of strengthening, a lot of just different memory things, eye tracking. There's a lot of stuff that goes into, you know, just recovering from a concussion. And so that's what I'm going through right now.
Are you completely symptom-free now?
Symptom-free. I'm getting there.
Okay, good.
I haven't passed out of the protocol yet, but I'm getting there.
Good.
Yeah. So first of all, relief to hear, man. We were all thinking about you. Obviously, you know, getting right is the most important thing. What's the next milestone for you in terms of getting back?
There's a few. The next one is passing concussion protocol, which I don't think I'm very far off, but you just got to pass all the tests. You got to see all the non-affiliated people. There's a procedure that we have set up to protect our guys, to make sure that there's not a lot of pressure from the club or there is not an opportunity. So we have a lot of independent neurologists that we have to talk to, that will go and talk to them. So just getting cleared through that is kind of the next step that I'm going through right now.
Let's go back to that Dallas game, if you don't mind. Just sort of thinking about it, you guys come off a couple really tough games against a couple really tough teams. Home game against Dallas, huge rivalry obviously here. Just what do you think just wasn't right in that one? And then I want to get your perspective on what was right here this past week against Tennessee.
Yeah, man, division games, you know, as long as I've been in the league, you know, it doesn't seem to matter what your record is ever. Like, division games are always tough, and that's kind of – what it's come down to, and this was no different. You know, another division game. They're familiar with us. We're familiar with them as far as players anyway. And, you know, it's one of those tough division games, and that's what we found ourselves in. They were struggling on offense. We were struggling on offense. And then all of a sudden, you know, towards the end of the game, everyone starts, you know, putting up points, whether it's special teams, you know, big plays. And it was just one of those dogfight games that might not be exciting to watch for the most part. And then all of a sudden, it's a burst of excitement at the end. Unfortunately, we ended up losing. But, you know, just some things that you go back and you look, and, yeah, there's plays that they made on defense that stopped us. Same with our defense. Our defense was definitely stopping them as well. But offensively, we just didn't do enough to connect, to keep the chains moving. And that was something that, you know, just running the ball didn't do as well, obviously, as we did last week, where, shoot, I think I had 250 yards or so like that against the Titans. So this is one of those games where, hey, look, it's been a struggle. We're trying to find a way, and we did have a chance there at the end. We gave ourselves a chance to win the game, and, you know, it takes a village to make sure we get the win, and we ended up falling short.
Austin Eckler with us here on G&D. Let's get into that Titans game from your perspective. You know, watching from afar, what did you see that looked a little bit different? Because that offense was unbelievable from Jump Street against Tennessee, never let up, and it was just impressive from start to finish. What did you see in that game?
Yeah, you know, I saw our offense connected early. I love that we were getting Terry the ball early. Like, man, what a special player. I love to see our offensive line coming off the ball, especially against a good front like Tennessee has. And I think we really saw that in practice. I think, you know, Bobby Wagner stood up and was talking to the team, addressed us, really got us connected, really got us locked in, you know, before we headed to the bye week. And we saw that in Wednesday practice really come alive. Like, it was one of our better practices that we've had. We actually went back and watched the film on it yesterday. And it's like, man, like, look at how we practice. Like, when we come back from the bye week, this is what practice has to look like. And it was people running, offensive linemen, double teams, driving five yards off the ball. It was something that you would expect to see from a team that's really hungry, going out there, right, putting it all out on the line. And so it was really good to see that on Wednesday, and it carried over to Thursday, Friday. And then, you know, we saw it come alive on Sunday as we rushed for, like I said, 250 yards. So, you know, we're in the mindset of, look, we're in the bye week right now. This is the last kind of final straw of the regular season. And you're right. It's, hey, let's win this last, you know, part of the regular season, get ourselves in a playoff spot. And so it's coming down to the final stretch here.
Austin Eckler is with us on Grant and Danny Weekly Appointment. Trusted insight from a trusted insider, presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. Austin, I believe I have this right. So it's not 4 weeks, it's four games, right? So even with the bye, it's three games after that, so you could still come back for that final game. Did you watch this past game at home, or were you at the stadium, and would that change as you get further along in your recovery?
Yeah, so you're right there. I believe it is four games as well, so I'll be eligible for the last game and then anything in the playoffs as well. And then, yeah, I watched from home for this past game. Basically, they were going to put me up in the booth, and so they usually give you an option, depending on what your symptoms are. If you're, you know, you got like a sprained ankle or something like that, they're probably not going to have you standing around, so probably have you at home. You know, concussion, all right, sensory overload, don't need you around the loud noises, don't need you around all this stuff. Like, let's just go watch it from home. So it just kind of depends on your situation of what you're dealing with, depending on if you want to go and be at the stadium. Usually it's going to be up in a box. We have like a player's IR type of injury box. Or depending on your situation, you could be down on the sideline as well. It just kind of depends. But for me, it was like, okay, let's go up in the box. Or, I mean, let's stay home. Maybe next next time we come around to the home game, you know, I'll be ready to be in the box or even be down the sideline, help support the guys. Just kind of a week by week kind of thing.
Could you tell just watching on TV, the CBS copy that we all saw, like, oh, okay, we're going to maul these guys because they're doing this, or this is a good matchup for us for this reason. I mean, the first carry of the game was a 40-yard touchdown, and you guys never looked back.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good stuff.
Pretty good, I guess, right? Yeah.
That's about as fast as you can start a game right there. Like, we went out, got a stop. I think it was the punt of the first one, but we had two turnovers, I believe, in the first quarter.
Right.
And all of those led to touchdowns. So we had, I think it was like four touchdowns within the first quarter or close to the first quarter. So, I mean, as far as efficiency goes, I bet that's about as efficient as you can get, right? You're on pace to score 100 points, which is not typically sustainable in the NFL, which, you know, it wasn't. You know, we kind of had a lull there in the second quarter because typically you don't get off to a start like that and maintain it for very long. The adjustments are made, you know, the other team also gets paid to make plays as well. And it's just not very typical. So, you know, they made some adjustments, made some stops, mounted a small comeback, but yeah, our team was, we were getting in the end zone. So if we're able to capitalize on turnovers and get in the end zone, it's going to be hard to win if you're the opponent team.
Austin, you guys are all obviously adults, grown-ups playing a grown man's game, but I sort of say this tongue-in-cheek. They're also adults among the adults, guys like you have been around, and Bobby Wagner, you know, a future Hall of Famer. You mentioned earlier he got up and spoke to everybody on Wednesday, and he's not as much of a rah-rah guy as maybe some others, but what did that mean and you know, kind of what was said?
I wasn't there. I was actually getting treatment. So this is what I'm hearing. You know, I talk with DQ on the regular, and so he let me know that had happened, and I thought that was great because I thought it was perfect timing for what we had been going through, kind of some tough losses, and by a guy that's really respected, not just around our team but around the league, and so his message is going to hit home with a lot of guys, and it sounded like it did. Talked about, you know, making sure it was about sacrifice, finishing right, making sure, hey, we have a bye week, let's make sure we leave it all on the line, things like that around that nature, just really kind of that finish, that little oomph, the extra oomph that we can give that shows up on Sundays because you play like you practice. And so it's definitely the message that we needed, and we saw it, you know, all come together out there. So, you know, it's great to see players step up like that and do that in times of need. You know, it's not needed all the time, but when you're going through like a tough stretch like we did with 3-game loss, definitely a time for, you know, a player to step up and, you know, make a message that can be felt. And it all depends on who you are. Not everyone can do that. You mentioned, like, there's adults within the league. There's people that have earned the respect, that earned the right, that have the respect. And Bobby's definitely one of those people.
Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Each and every week we get you a listener question that is sent in by one of our listeners, presented by IT Cadre. And I like this one a lot today. This is from Jupe, who says, how do you prepare differently for different weather conditions? If a game's freezing, if it's snowing, if it's hot. Like, how much of your prep goes into actually the conditions as the year goes on?
Oh, yeah. You know, at practice nowadays, you know, I was wearing, let's talk at the beginning of the season, like, I'm wearing T-shirts and shorts, you know, cutoffs and stuff like that. Now, it's actually a blessing to be able to practice in this weather because you can actually prepare for it. I remember when I was on the West Coast and we would come out here during the end of the year on the East Coast, and I would be freezing my butt off. Like, because I'm in sunshine, you know, wear my T-shirt. Now all of a sudden I come out here and I think I can just put on one layer. And now being out in it, I understand I wear three different T-shirts under my pads that are like turtleneck thicker T-shirts because I want to be prepared where I don't want to be warm. I don't want to be cold at all. I can never wear anything on my arms because I like the ball contact on my arms. Not something I have to adjust to and I've been able to out here while I'm out here. And then also catching cold balls. Sounds weird, but it actually, like, it's different when the temperature of the ball is a lot lower because your hands feel different. Like, there's just a different smack when it hits your hands. It stings a little bit. So being able to actually get acclimated to that, and I think it's a little advantage when you're out here and used to it and can actually practice in that. So great question. So I think there's a lot of advantages to being out here and when you have to play in these cold environments.
Good question from Jay here as well. What's it like being on IR? What is it that you can do? Obviously, you're getting treatment and stuff, but can you go to practice? And does it feel kind of isolating?
It sucks, man.
Yeah.
It freaking sucks, you know? Like, and this is whoever's on IR, however you got there, it sucks. Just because now you know you're going to miss, you know, some time. And isolating, you are definitely isolated. It's not anything intentional, but coaches are putting a game plan together that's with the current guys, and they're over doing the normal routine, going to meetings and stuff like that, and now all of a sudden your routine changes when you're on IR to now treatment is your main thing, because what do you need to do? You need to get back as soon as you possibly can. So you're a little bit more isolated. You're not in as many meetings, you know, maybe not at practice, depending on what you're recovering. For me, thankfully, I'll be able to get to still some of the meetings and some of the practices, but you're not in the game plan, so you're not, like, on the field. There's no really attention. You're kind of like a support person now as far as, you know, like, you can cheer on the boys out there, I guess. So it definitely is different, not ideal for the injury's sake and for just a social sake. But the team wants nothing for you when you're on IR besides getting back. Like, just look, let us focus on the game plan. That's what they're going to do. And then, hey, you get yourself back and we'll welcome you with open arms. So it definitely does feel a little lonely, but luckily we have also the training staff too, who's a great, great group of people out here that, you know, keep us occupied and keep us moving in the right direction to get back.
Our guy, Austin Eckler, who's sounding good and on the mend. We'll let you go here, Austin. But I guess it sounds like we could see you again for sure this season, that this is not the end of the season for you.
Hey, man, it's week to week. It's one of those things. I want to continue to learn more about, hey, it's my second concussion. You know, what am I more susceptible for a third one now that I've had two, and the severity of mine? So it's a learning process for me, because I've never had anything like this bad, and twice in the same year. So it's one of those things where, you know, I'm human. I don't know everything about my conditions right now. I have some new ones that I'm dealing with, and it's one of those things where you just got to continue to learn and then try to make the best judgment. The best thing about it is the team's got my back pretty much on any decision that I make. And so I really appreciate DQ and Adam Peters for being there and kind of being, you know, open to helping me out.
That's awesome. Very well said, man. Glad you're heading in the right direction, my friend, and really appreciate the time as always.
Thank you. Thanks, boys. Good time.
Yeah, positive appreciate vibes it from us and all our listeners, man. We're thinking about you. There's Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny for his weekly appointment here on The Fan. You see why we love having him on the show. He's just terrific.
Just so thoughtful, man. He's excellent.
I hope he gets to play again this season.
Me too.
For a lot of reasons. Obviously, it's good for the football team. But you'd hate for a guy who was that helpful to their offense to not be able to go out on the year on his own terms, right? Like, he's going to be scratching and clawing and doing everything behind the scenes to get right. If you're doing that for a month, 5 weeks to end the year, only to then not get to play again, to then start your offseason,
it stinks.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it ain't fair. I mean, the sports ain't fair. I mean, look at John Allen. You know, like, all you've ever done is waited for this opportunity to be part of a good team, and it's just ripped away from you with no ceremony. The games still go on. Nobody's stopping and going, let's have another moment for John Allen. It's like 53 have to line up and go play, but it would be awesome to see him come out there. He's such a weapon. We think of weaponry as, like, take the top off the defense, and that's certainly a weapon, but, like, his easy button is turning a little hitch pass into 14. Like, that is so helpful for them to stay on time and stay ahead of the chains.
Grant and Danny on The Fan at the top of the hour in 40 minutes, right at 6 o'clock. Maryland lawmakers are willing to vote yes to give land to D.C. so that the Commanders can get a D.C. stadium if they can get some fighter jets, like some jets that they can fly around
in. So some fighter jets.
That's what they want. Jets. That's hilarious.
It's one of those, like, weird trade offers in fantasy. It's like, just give me a couple fighter jets and you can have them.
You got any jets laying around over there?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that at 6. Next, though, let's look at the playoff picture in the NFL after Monday Night Football right here on The Fan.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attaboy, Derek.
Was this for you? Because you're a little bit down in the dumps right now?
I think he's trying to help me fight to the finish here.
Poor GP is, I mean, can you show the people on the YouTubes what you got in front of you?
I mean, there's lots of
you've
things.
You've gone through 77 of these honey lemon.
There's lemon drop.
Lemon drop things. Cough drops.
Throat spray here.
Yep.
This is like the worst tasting.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. Sorry. I'm not laughing at you, but that was.
I'm on this.
Yeah.
Sepical extra strength.
Sepical, yeah.
Sore throat and cough. By the way, none of it's working at all.
No, it doesn't help you. You got some tea over here?
Dad just gave me Advil. So I appreciate that, Dad.
Look at that.
I got propolis raw honey throat spray.
Oh, do you got the propolis?
6% pure propolis.
Yeah. Propolis. So here's what's happening. You're not going to be here tomorrow. You should rest and stop it.
We're headed that direction.
Yeah. So you got an hour to go, and you are, I mean, this is one of those, like, Ronnie Lott cutting off his pinky.
Yeah.
Go back in the game. Just tape it up. Give me a pain injection. Let me finish.
Harry Stamper don't miss his mark. I'll say that. I don't miss work very often. I try to get through it. The problem is we're in a talking medium.
Yep.
So if I could just sit at a desk and click on some things for a while, I could probably make do. But the throat is going. So we'll see. Right now, I would say I'm very much questionable for tomorrow. I was probable for tomorrow all day. I've been downgraded to questionable. And I told Ryan earlier, I think at this moment, just based on trends.
Yeah. This is Thursday walkthrough. You're actually just doing stuff on the side.
55% chance I'm not in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right now.
I think it's doubtful.
And here's why. All day long, throat problematic. You go back to the opening of the show. I sound like I'm going through puberty. Welcome, right?
The Commanders have won. One in a row. Right. They fixed their losing streak.
It's a chest.
Yeah.
I feel like a brick on my chest.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shortness of breath. There's like a pneumonia situation abound, right?
Yeah.
Something afoot. So that's fine. That can happen to the best of us. I was like, you know what? Chest, throat, we can deal. It's gonna be okay. Since about 5 o'clock, it feels like I was hit by a small vehicle. I'm going to say a smart car or like maybe one of those like Trax cars. You know what I'm talking about?
No, what are the Trax cars?
You know, just like...
Like kids' play
it's
toys?
It's like another company's smart car. It's like the smart car, but...
I don't know Trax.
I'll make it easier for you. It's like I was hit by a high-speed golf cart. How about that?
Oh, there you go. That I know.
I'm just sore.
What is a Trax, though? I don't even know it a bit.
I don't know if I'm saying the right word.
TRAX?
I think so. I rented one in Florida with my wife when we were dating and on our first trip.
So there's a Chevy Trax, which is just a reasonably sized SUV.
So and then it's not
that. It ain't that, no.
A Spark car is what I'm thinking of. Do you know about a Spark car?
Spark?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
I think I know those.
Chevy Spark.
Yeah.
Look that up. That's kind of
what Chevy Spark,
It hit me at like 51 miles
an hour. Oh, it's just a little fella. This thing is the thimble of cars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was going kind of like slowish, but it just pummeled me. So that's kind of where we're at. But yeah, here's the sticky wicket. Here's the real issue.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy's going to the Caps game after this. Now, in any other situation, I'm just steamed up to go to the Caps game, and I am tonight as well. But I would probably go. I got a couple tickets.
Yeah.
I'll let someone else go in my stead. I probably am not going to make it. I told my son earlier today.
Yeah. I heard the phone call.
The cutest little guy.
I don't think anyone's been more excited.
Loves Alex Ovechkin. We play hockey in the basement every morning. His birthday is December 17th, coming up, same day as my father's. Happy birthday, Dennis. Happy birthday, Truman. And he said to me recently, like going to bed, he's like at his cutest when he's like half asleep.
Mm-hmm.
He's like laying in his bed, and he's like, do you think I'll get to go to a hockey game this month for my birthday? And I was like, maybe, buddy. So when I got tickets today, I was like, okay, I'll bring my kid. So I told him about it, but all hell's broken out since then.
Yeah, you're going downhill.
Downhill big. So I literally texted my wife, and I'm like, hey, is Truman sized right now about the game? Or if we told him the game's actually next week, like, would that be any kind of an issue? And she's like, oh, no, he's really, really
right,
sized.
The earth would end.
Yeah.
that's over, dude.
So here we are.
Yeah.
We're going to put one foot in front of the other one.
So at the first intermission, you're like, game's over, buddy.
Yeah.
That's it.
We're going to gut it out for Carbs and the boys. It's a hockey night in D.C.
Obviously, Grant is not at full strength right now, but he's got to be accountable because he let the cat out of the bag to his son there.
Had I not have said anything to him, the night would go very differently.
Yeah.
Is what I'm going to tell you.
You'd be home in bed.
Because it is. But.
But at least, you're sitting up high, so it's easy to get out of there.
For tomorrow. Yes, that's true.
Sitting way up, way away from the glass.
Nosebleeds.
Yeah. Yep.
For tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it's changed since the beginning of the segment. 56% chance.
Dude, it's doubtful. Would you just put it as doubtful?
It's questionable. I would say it's doubtful for a normal player. I play through pain all the time. I am the Trent Williams of coming to work grinding through.
You are Jordan looking at the iPad right now, taking it personal. This is not a personal affront to your toughness. I'm not challenging your toughness here.
Nobody is. I think we live in a world where people don't go to work as much as they should. And
you're trying to lead.
And it's my personal mission to show everyone to take a little pride in what you do every now and then. That's what I'm trying to do. I was the first one back with Danny Ruye to do live shows at 106.7 The Fan.
That's right.
You ask me to do something, I'm going to do it. When I'm gone from this little rock, people are going to, no one will probably bring me up. But in this hypothetical.
They're bringing you up in this hypothetical.
Someone brings me up. Mm-hmm. They go, what do you think of Grant? They'll be like, oh, he was fat. Or like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He loved Cook Classic.
He loved pocket quarterbacks, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He liked the quarterback that stood there and took a beating and made some throws down the field. But somewhere along the way, I want them to say, that guy was reliable. You could count on him.
Good one.
He's going to work. He's going to show up. That's me.
Yeah.
Now, again, we have a medium where if I was out like this, I can't do the show.
Who are you talking to? I know that very well. Yes.
There have been multiple times where Danny has come in without a voice and sat in his chair trying to do the show. And our boss has walked into the studio and said, get out of here.
Go home, idiot. Yeah.
Tomorrow could be one of those days. Now, I do not show up when I sound like you did those days. Mm-hmm. I would just stay home and save myself the drive. But it might be CK is going to have to make the call.
Well, when you tell people, like when I text you, you and our boss, I lost my voice, or like I've got laryngitis, which I had way too many times, right? It sounds like the dog ate my homework. Do you know what I mean? Like, I understand, like you and I both know, like we take great pride in doing this thing and trying to do a good job.
Yeah.
But it's like, it just sounds like Danny doesn't feel like it. And I still have that like little kid mentality where it's like, you know, I put the thermometer next to the light bulb and had a temperature of 146.
Right.
You know, because I didn't know any better. It still feels like people don't believe you.
Correct.
So it's like I come in and it's that much more embarrassing for then someone to be like, no, stupid.
See, I don't have the people don't believe you thing.
Yeah.
I feel bad. I got a job. I'm going to do your job guy.
Yeah.
It's not
Grant Belichick.
It's not that important. I'm not landing spaceships. Mm-hmm. I'm not curing cancer. But in my little area of the world.
We're talking rookie of the year. We're talking Jaden Daniels.
It's the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's my kids, you know, the wife, and this little thing. If I don't get to do this thing anymore, that would suck. I don't know. We'd probably need to, there'd be a therapist somewhere that I'm sitting on her couch.
And yeah.
She's helping me through it. But like, when you feel mostly okay, and it's just your voice or whatever, that's your issue too.
Yeah,
I think.
So
I'm not sick. It's just a yes, but it's a talking medium and you can't talk.
I know. And then like when to get treatment from the ear, nose, and throat guy from Capital Breathe Free, I get steroids. And I'm
steroids.
Like steroids, as Ryan would say. And I feel amazing. Like I don't feel that good. Like where I'm up and I'm active and it's like I don't feel like I want to go to sleep for 6 months
at a
time.
That's what I think I need, by the way.
A steroid?
No, ENT type person.
No, you definitely
did one of those one time and it was very not helpful.
And got it in your mind they're not helpful?
No, not even that, but it was like, maybe there's a little hesitation because it was like, it's a pain in the ass.
Mm.
You go to your doctor, they write you I guess it's called a referral. I was going to say prescription, but you get a referral, then you have to drive to some other office. Normally, it takes a week to get in there. Then you go there, and then they're like, what's the deal? And they're like, let me look. Oh, yeah, it's a little sore back there. Like, I don't know, man. I the steroids you got?
Yeah.
I didn't get those.
Well, yeah. I mean, the guys at Capital Breathe Free, like, quite literally changed my life. Like, with the surgery I had multiple different times, different things on my nose, the allergy drops that I take every day. Like, my life has changed because of them. So if it's something that's chronic.
You had a major operation.
Yeah. Like, you got to do it. Like, if it's something that's chronic and you're always dealing with it, you know, like, I was even to the point where people were making fun of me. You know, where it's like, and I get it. It's like. It's like, hey, I'm getting over something. It's like, dude, you're always getting over something. It's like, well, yeah, I am. I'm like literally always fighting something.
You were sick more than anyone I knew for a while there.
Uh-huh. Now, part of it is, because nothing worked right, it's like trying to play chess on a mountain or something. That was a terrible analogy. But
tell me more about that.
Yeah, well, so you see, the bishop can't go because it's a mountain. So there's that at a broken playing field.
Chess on a mountain. Where do you put the board?
Yeah, I don't know what you do. There's no board. I guess was the worst. Trying to go.
The cough is the worst part.
Yeah,
because it's like the throat hurts and the chest hurts so bad.
Oh, it all stings. Oh, it's nasty too. This cough. Yeah. This is gross. It's gross. But so like nothing was working. But then it's like my kids go to school. They come home. They're like, Dad, look, here's germs. And it's like this constant cycle.
You think I don't know about that?
Of course you know about it. My point is you're doing it. And if it's chronic, you got to go see him.
Yeah, maybe I will. I want to talk about the playoff ramifications.
Okay.
During the bye week for Washington, a couple of the matchups of the teams that need a win.
They're intriguing if you're Washington.
On the Commanders are pretty favorable, actually. We'll get into that next on G&D. With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30. Sam Fortier of The Post joins us in 15 minutes. He's got the report that was put out this afternoon in The Post with a couple of political reporters he's working on a story with that Maryland lawmakers want fighter jets from D.C., like actual jets, to sign off on giving their vote to D.C. getting land that could be used for the stadium for the Commanders. That's confusing. It's because it is. Don't worry. We will sort it all out coming up at the top of the hour. But basically, think about it like a fantasy trade, Danny. DC wants the land, and the guy in their fantasy league is asking for the running back that they don't want to give up. And the running back this time is just a couple of fighter jets.
Give me Derrick Henry and Justin Jefferson for two F-16s.
Hilarious to me. But look forward to that conversation. All right, looking at the playoff standings in the NFL. So we'll start in the NFC, obviously, where Washington resides. The Commanders are just in a golden spot. They would have to melt down, essentially, to not make the playoffs at this point as the 7 seed in the NFC. They have a multi-game cushion over the teams chasing them, including Arizona, who they have a tiebreaker over. So that's effectively a 2.5-game cushion over the Cardinals, including the Rams and the Bucks. The Bucks, though, who are the most likely team to string some wins together, are probably going to catch Atlanta, 3 straight losses, free-falling in the NFC South. So they aren't necessarily as much a concern. So really, you almost need 2 teams, if you count the Falcons as 1 of the 4, to finish really, really strong to knock Washington out, and then Washington has to go 1-3 or so when they get back from their bye. I think they are in a great spot. You see in some of the analytics sites, Danny, that they're an 80% likeliness to get to the playoffs. I actually think it's probably higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, there are numbers that I don't know what to put in the calculator to come up with it, but every time I run a scenario in my mind, I go, okay, well, let's look at the schedule this weekend, for example. Falcons play the Vikings, right, where they are enormous underdogs, 5.5, 6 points, depends on your book. So the Falcons have lost 3 straight, just played their worst game of their season this past week, at Minnesota, who needs to win to keep pace with Detroit, with Philadelphia, with Green Bay in terms of their playoff seeding and, you know, still an outside hope to win that division. So you'd like Minnesota in that game. So now the Falcons lose. Either they swap spots with Tampa or, you know, maybe they hold on to that spot. Who knows? Because it's not as if Tampa's, you know, running roughshod over people either.
Tampa plays the Raiders this weekend. They'll be favored in that game. We'll be close, but I would imagine they would win that game. So they would be the leader in the NFC South. And then the Falcons would fall out of the playoffs.
Yeah, so then, those two guys swap. Because there's only going to be 1 team from the NFC South, just, you know, kind of given the math. And somebody has to. All the divisions are going to be represented, even though you'd kind of do without that one this year. But there you are. So, yeah, Tampa's a 6.5-point favorite at home against the Raiders.
I wonder if there's any chance Washington catches Green Bay. Because if we're saying Tampa's the biggest threat, but they're probably going to win the division. Atlanta's not, let's say, a threat, hypothetically, because they may lose this weekend. They'll be 2.5 games behind Washington at that point. And then Arizona, you have the tiebreaker over. The Rams at 6-6 would be the next biggest threat. They would have to go, you know, still though, 4-0, while you went 2-2, and the tiebreaker might still go your way. So you probably have to go 1-3 while they go 4-0. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense that that's going to happen. Or I guess 5-0, or 4-1 even, in that situation. But where would you rather play in the first round as a 7 seed? If you're playing at the 2, which is going to be either the Lions, who are 11-1, the 1 seed right now, or the Eagles, who are 10-2, the 2 seed right now. And it's definitely one of those 2 teams. There's a drop-off to the division leaders after those two. Would you rather go to Detroit and deal with the Lions, or to Philly, where you've already played, and play a division team, the Eagles, for a third time, including the second time in about a month, the third time in a couple of months in the playoffs.
Yeah, both are better than you. Both are, you know, two of the three or four best teams in the NFL. I just think Detroit is, you know, 27 Yankees. Like, to me, I think they're just an absolute buzzsaw going to the Super Bowl this year.
I also think there's something to, it's hard to beat a team three times, not to give the Eagles the win over Washington already, which is possible. But there's a familiarity. Like, what did Dan Quinn say last week when the Commanders lost to the Cowboys? Hey, weird things happen in the division all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it that way. Like, I would rather play a familiar opponent, a team Washington, different club altogether last year, took to the brink twice, where a decision not to kick a field goal away from a fourth quarter lead in Philly just a few weeks ago. I think that familiarity would make me rather play an Eagles team that would be favored and probably win over the Lions.
Yeah, me too. I just, that whether it's the division element, the familiarity element, whatever you want to call it, also Washington played them pretty tough and didn't play very well in that game. Philly deserves credit for that, by the way. They're really good. This is not me taking away from that.
Their defense is scarier probably than Detroit.
Yeah, I would love to see Washington's A game against Philadelphia. Again, Philadelphia should be favored, would be favored, would likely win, what, six, seven times out of ten?
That's a good point. But if they played their A game against Detroit's B game, I could still see them losing. If they played their A game against Philly's B game, I think that is a field goal at the horn kind of game.
Yeah, and it's one you could steal. And, you know, you think of the added pressure, you think of what, you know, listen, Philadelphia's overcome it to this point. But remember with all the wolves at the door when Sirianni's yelling at fans and everyone was calling for his head? Now they've rallied and ripped off, what is it, eight straight wins since then? But still, that's a high-pressure environment. So if it's close, nip and tuck into the fourth quarter, who knows what happens?
The Packers play the Lions on Thursday night. Let's say they lose. They should, by the way. They're favored to. They'd be 9-4, one game better than Washington, 8-5.
Intriguing,
the
right?
Sixth seed going into the Commanders game out of the bye week, which, how about that, by the way, in New Orleans with a chance maybe to catch Green Bay that day. But I bring that up to ask you this. If they were to get to the sixth spot, do you think you'd rather play the winner of the South, Tampa, Atlanta? So either decent weather, Tampa outdoor game in the playoffs, or in a dome in Atlanta, or the winner of the West, which could be the Rams inside, Seattle in a tough building, or Arizona where you've gone and destroyed them?
South. I don't think either of those teams is any good right now. Tampa week one.
Even though you went to Tampa week one, yeah. It was a different Commanders team and got annihilated.
And they're a different Tampa team too, by the way, I think.
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. I think I'm with you probably on that. Atlanta does not scare me. They've got a bad defense. Cousins coming off four picks. The offense looks broken right now. They haven't thrown a touchdown pass in 3 weeks. I mean, something is not right in Atlanta moment.
And you're not going to care about this, but I don't know how many Washington fans feel like I do. I have too many Seattle postseason ghosts to feel comfortable at all. Like, it seems like
that
every
would
time
be a factor for you.
It just
it's in, Mike it, McDonald and Geno Smith. It's such a different thing. It's been 20 years.
Not to me. Every time we go to the postseason, Seattle ends it. So enough of that. I need to not see them for a little bit to get my confidence.
You haven't
back.
Seen them for a lot of bit.
Well,
2012 is 12
because we don't
ago.
Go to the postseason. When right. we go, we play them and we lose. They've ended our season a bunch of times.
So I'd rather play Atlanta because they're worse, or Seattle or Tampa is interesting. I think I would rather play Seattle than Tampa. Although going to Seattle is a really, really tough building to go play a football playoff football game in. But that's the catbird seat, by the way. Like, Green Bay will be favored in any of those games in that 6-3.
You think so, right?
That's where you want to be. If you're Washington and you can play the Bucks or the Seahawks or maybe like a 9-8 Rams team that got in via tiebreaker, I think that's where you want to try to crowbar your way into.
Because unless the Vikings totally implode and lose that 5 seed, you know, first wild card spot, which means, you know, I suppose they could. It could start here as they've been trending down.
If they don't, Danny, then that means Green Bay, like if Green Bay catches them, then they were both really good. Like, mm-hmm. Minnesota is not coming back to Washington, I don't think.
No, because they're 10-2 with what is that, 5 to play. You wouldn't think they're going to fall. Even if they don't play as well as they did for the first 12 games, they're not going 1-4.
Falcons this week, then the Bears. Then the Seahawks, playoff caliber team, mm-hmm. Packers, Lions. They actually have a pretty hard schedule. Final four games of their schedule. Going to be tough because they are home against Chicago. But still, let's say they win the next two. That gets them to 12. I could see them only winning one more the rest of the way. But now you're talking about 13 wins.
Yep.
So as long as they don't collapse, to your point, they'll be all right. All right, let's try to get to the bottom of why fighter jets are needed from Maryland so that they can sign off on D.C. getting land for the Commanders Stadium. Next on G&D.